Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the On Call Room.
This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Bray.
Bray. And we are your hosts. This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We are deep diving every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Every time you say deep diving, your arm in the air.
I'm throwing our energy out to our listeners.
Yes, that's nice.
We're currently in season 8, episode 13 and 14. We've been doing this for like almost 2 years.
I feel like it's 3.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Really?
2.5, at least.
Wow. So we've been doing this a long time and we're still not even halfway done.
Yeah.
But if you have not watched the end of the show, first of all, weird. Second of all, this is a spoiler podcast.
Yes.
And
if you want more than just weekly episodes, head on over to Patreon.
Yep. www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. There are different benefits that you get for each one, such as bonus episodes, access to our private Facebook group, which shout out to a few of our patrons who got together on like a
Google Hangout.
A Google Hangout and made a sex web. Not literally, but they actually made this hilarious graph of every character on Grey's and who they've had sex with.
It was pretty crazy how many things connected.
So many. Yeah. I think they said Karev and who was the other one was the skeeziest.
Mm.
I can't remember who the other person was.
I don't remember either.
No, not Jackson. It'll come to me. Anyways.
George.
Yeah, totally.
Mark?
George. Oh, Mark, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you like stuff like that and you want to talk to other Grey's Anatomy fans, especially with the current season airing right now,
right.
Our Facebook group is a great place to do it. We also do once a month bonus episodes and live hangouts. Where we hang out with our $10 patrons. So, and if also you can go to our website, it's www.theoncallroompod.com, where how can they send us a message, Bree?
On the website?
Yeah.
There's a little form, and you can let us know how much you love us, or you can tell us things that you want to hear more of on the podcast.
Bree's face was about to say like things you don't like.
Yeah,
and then she graciously turned it into that.
You can also follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. You can send us messages there as well.
Yeah.
Or if you want to post about listening to the podcast, we'll put it on our stories.
Yep.
And we'll tag you or whatever.
Yeah.
However Instagram works.
And also, like, for example, someone once told us that they wish that they knew when the Grey's Anatomy content started so they could just start listening at that point. And we've been doing it for a whole season, if not longer now. So all you have to do is go into the show notes of the episode and you can see the timestamp of where you need to go if you like to just skip ahead to the Grey's content.
Yeah. If you don't want to listen to announcements or anything about our lives, I put the exact time. Also in the show notes is a summary of what the episode's going to be about.
Right. So if you like don't remember what the titles mean, then you can always look there. The best way to support us, though, is to leave a review on iTunes. We're currently at a 4.7. We love 5.
We are?
I think, aren't we?
I thought we were back to a 5.
Oh, I don't know. We love 5 scalpel reviews. I can't see our overall rating. That was just what was written in the notes.
I hope we haven't dipped back down, but if we have, then we certainly need your review for 5 scalpels.
Yeah, so let us know why you love us. I'm like one of those people that never leaves reviews but loves to read them. So we've tried to change that this year by leaving reviews for podcasts.
Yes.
Bree, do you have one that you'd like to recommend quickly?
I do.
She's opening her phone. Frantically scrolling.
Marge
is next to me, licking herself.
Petting
her head.
I am going to do Modern Love.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What is it?
it's a podcast of in the New York Times I'm pretty sure it's the New York Times.
Yeah, it's like a column.
Yeah, it's a column. And so they're like essays. And then they have certain actors or famous people read the essays. And then they always interview the author of the essay at the end, too.
Isn't there a show? Amazon
there
Prime?
There is, yeah. And that recently came out about a couple episodes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sometimes I don't listen to it. And then when I like go through my queue of things and I'm like, ugh, what, there's nothing to listen to. I click on that and it's usually like a 20-minute episode and I never regret it and I always cry.
Ooh, okay, I'll have to, it's been on my subscribe, but I've not hit play yet.
Oh my God, they're so
okay.
Lovely.
Perfect. I like a lot of murder, so I'm always like, too light.
Yeah, yeah.
We do have a featured review we'd like to read. It's from @CarlyNeely. She gave us 5 out of 5 scalpels. Listening to Abby and Bree deep dive into Grey's Anatomy has been the highlight of my morning commute for the past 6 months. I've never had anyone else in my life love Grey's as much as I do, and it's so nice to have a community surrounding this little medical drama show. If you are a Grey's addict, you will love this pod. Thank you, Carly Neely.
Thank you, Carly. And she gave us 5 out of 5.
She sure did. Okay, I think that's all of our announcements.
Yes.
I was like about ready to jump into the episode, but we're talking.
I mean, yeah. Well, we could... One more thing.
Yeah.
Just visit A-Day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, please do. www.thisisaday.com on Instagram. They are just @A-Day. They're a clothing company that we love and support very much, and they support us. For every purchase that you make there, your first one, by using the code...
The On Call Room.
You get 20% off.
Which is pretty dope.
Yeah, it's like they're quality items. They use ethical factories. Their whole idea is that instead of buying a bunch of fast fashion, you commit to a really good wardrobe that will take you through the years and can be worn in all seasons.
Yes.
So they love us and we love them. And we'd love if you send us a photo in your new A-Day gear.
Yes. Get some leggings.
Yeah, get some. Their winter ones just came back in stock that are like thicker.
Oh, nice.
Because sometimes my ass gets cold.
And nobody needs that.
No, I don't want a cold.
Ass crack?
Ass crack. how are you?
I'm good. I feel like I don't have anything to say. I feel like I'm good. I didn't sleep well last night, so my brain is probably not functioning at an optimum. I can tell them about the weird dream I had.
Tell them about the weird dream.
So I had really bad anxiety last night, and so I ended up going and sleeping on the couch because I like, or not even really sleeping.
Why didn't you go to this bed?
Because I wanted to watch TV and I didn't know how to like fuck with that TV.
Gotcha.
And so I just went on the couch and yeah, so I was watching The Office at like 2 a.m. and had to work this morning and just, excuse me, Marge. And then I was having that where you're like going in and out of sleep thing. And so then I had this dream that this huge spider ran out from under the couch and like ran over by our shoes. But I was like sleeping on the couch, so it was like kind of real.
Also, maybe it was Marge, like darting.
It could be. And then I called John and he came over and he killed the spider.
In the dream.
In the dream. And then I was like, whoa, that was close call. And I rolled up my sleeve and I had all these spider bites on my arm. And I was like, oh my God, that spider bit me. And then as I realized that, my eyes, ears, and nose started bleeding.
Oh my God.
Blood coming
Which
out of
is
them.
It's not a good sign, as we know.
No. And so I told John, like, fuck, we got to go to the ER. And he was like, you're fine. I was like, my face is bleeding.
I'm not fine.
I'm not. I have Ebola, clearly. And then because I think it was like in my dream state, I connected that the venom from the spider was making my face bleed. And then we went to the ER and then my face stopped bleeding and they wouldn't even take me back into the office. And they just told me that it was a specific type of migraine that I was having.
So if you've
and sent me home
that, and then you woke up. And went to work?
Well, and then I was kind of like still in like the ER waiting room and Marge was there and I was like trying to pick her up but she was like scratching me and I was like, why did we bring our cat here? It was straight up anxiety dreams of like, you know.
I hate those.
You know, and couldn't get to where I needed to go after that. And
Jake had Sunday scaries yesterday too. So maybe there was something in the energy.
Well, there was a new moon. Yeah. So maybe that. I don't know. But I just felt like real weird all night.
Yeah, I get it.
And not even about like future, you know, there's like, I feel like there's two types of anxiety. There's the anxiety where you're like nervous about something that's going to happen in your life, Or there's the anxiety where you're thinking, you're like that one time in fifth grade when I said that thing and you right. just keep thinking about it. That was the anxiety I was having. I was like replaying a bunch of stuff in my head.
Which is never good.
No, because it's like it already it happened. It's done.
Right. But it just like, and it gets louder. I feel yeah. like the noise. Yeah. yeah. No, totally. When I get anxious like that, I feel like I hear my heartbeat.
Yeah.
Which I've learned that it's your blood is like actually like. Pulse, like it pumps faster.
Yeah. When,
so like that's part of it. But I'm always like, oh, I can hear my heartbeat.
Meaning I'm
something's
in a,
wrong.
I'm in a bad space.
Yeah. I've had such a weird week. I've been staying at my mom's house because they are in Puerto Rico and I'm watching her two dogs. And my mom just recently, like they gutted their house. And so it's, everything is all really new and like very clean and whatever. Yeah. And not that my house like isn't, but it just feels newer.
Yeah.
And I have been, it feels like I've been at a really nice hotel
yeah.
for a week because I was actually disappointed when I walked in the other day. I was like, oh, my stuff is everywhere. Like I made it messy. Like I liked when it was like contained. Also, like my mom's bathroom is always, they have this huge counter and like everything is never on the counter. It always is back in its spot. And I've been there a week and my shit is all everywhere. Over that counter, which I know like I don't have a drawer to put it in.
Yeah, I think it's different because I'm trying to think of like when you and I went to Cabo, I feel like our shit was all
everywhere.
Over the
yeah. yeah. But it's, I also don't feel bad about it because it's not my house.
Exactly.
Like it actually, like,
it's kind of liberating.
Yeah. In my current house, I would be very like annoyed when my shit is everywhere at myself, but I don't feel that way. And like, I've left my bed unmade, which is
wow.
very unlike me, but it's, it feels like it's not my bed.
Are you waiting for someone to come in and make it for you?
yeah. Why is my room's turn up service yeah. not, or turn down?
Turn down.
Turn up is in the, they don't do
turn,
that.
They turn down.
Turn up service is when they bring you shots of tequila and they say, let's turn up. I want that.
Every time you're saying turn up, I'm thinking of the vegetable.
Turn up service.
Yeah.
Oh. What else about it? Oh, this is laughable. If you have someone you sleep with in bed, a partner, so to say, hello, Marge. She's like sneezed at me. Our sheets are always all Marge. Over the place. And I have been waking up and it looks like I've died in my sleep. It's just like nothing is disturbed. The sheets, it's like all I need to do to make the bed is fold it back over. Like,
okay,
nothing.
I feel like I'm the same way when like.
When you sleep alone.
When I sleep alone.
Yeah.
Maybe after a couple days if I don't make the bed or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry if there's loud noises. My cat is just choosing to walk all over the table right now. That maybe after like a couple days,
yeah.
it's different. But I know because you make your bed every day.
Yeah, I like getting in a made bed.
I get that, yeah. I wish I made my bed every day, but I don't.
But I don't have to go to work. I don't have to rush anywhere to go to work. I don't know
that's
that I
true.
Would.
Yeah.
But even if I didn't, I would make it before I got into bed.
Yeah, and I usually do that or like shake out the yeah. sheets and stuff or whatever. But yeah, it is crazy when you sleep alone. You're like, oh.
I'm like, oh, cool. I sleep soundly.
Yeah, not like.
It's the other person that is waking me up.
Yeah.
He's not here. I can talk about him. Okay. Well, Marge has left the table after yeah. scratching herself to shit right next to me. She's probably left her juices over here.
Juices?
I don't know. There's a wet spot.
Dandruff?
Probably. Who knows?
Juices?
also, shout out, if you have watched Cheer on Netflix, you need to. It's incredible. Just plugging that. That's all I did. I've watched so much Netflix this week because I'm in my hometown and there's nothing to do there and I have no friends. And so I'm just with these two dogs working and I've watched.
Do you ever go get coffee at like Oddside?
I think about it all the time. But
you
like,
just don't.
I was like, I don't want to get dressed up or put
yeah,
on clothes.
Yeah, go. Maybe and it sounds like your mom's house is really nice. So.
It is. And she's a great coffee maker and I brought my oat milk. So she has a frother. So I get to make like.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So no, I have everything I need. I bought pre-made Panera soups, sandwich things, eggs. And that's.
Has Jake come out? He came out once?
He came out twice, I think. But I also have been like fine with when he leaves. When he left last night, I felt like it was like when we were dating.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, sweet relief.
Yeah, and then I just like wasn't anxious about going to bed, which I get anxious when he sleep when we're together because he's loud when he sleeps.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh no.
Well, you might just have to be that married couple who sleeps in separate beds.
I know. I feel like that married couple like
fails,
or no, they probably succeed.
Yeah.
But they're just, like, roommates.
I think it's really weird, though, because, like, why did we ever, like, my sister Catherine and I were talking about this. Why did we ever, like, make it a thing that, you have to sleep next to your partner. Why did we ever, like, and then base that on whether your relationship is healthy or not?
Right.
Because, like, on, and I have been like, when we get older, John, like, we'll just sleep in separate beds. And he's like, absolutely not. Because I think to him, that means like, we're in a bad space. But I'm like, but I'm literally just sleeping. Like, why
yeah, I
does,
want like a cuddle
I don't need,
room.
I don't need intimacy when I sleep.
No, I want like an intimacy room, we'll call it. And then I want my like dark, cozy sleep pod.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with
also,
that.
Why do we sleep in like elaborate bedrooms? Like literally make me a pod that has like,
I'd be claustrophobic.
No, okay,
pod.
Not small, but just like, okay, so like picture this.
Okay.
So you have your room, picture it. Okay. You know how in some sororities they have like a dormer, which is like they all sleep in the same room, but then they each have their own bedroom that has like their desk, all of their things. So you, let's say you have a room in your house that's like a desk, a TV, your favorite things, your maybe a getting ready station, like a little room.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a room
a vanity,
that
if
is
you
small
will.
And it has just a bed, a nightstand. You can have a TV because I know you want one when you fall asleep. And
well, that's what the rich people used to have. They would have their dressing rooms and then they would have their bedrooms.
But I want my bedroom to have like one of those like lights, like in a spa where it's like kind of, it like slowly will turn off. And then, I want like a surround sound of like, yeah, like I want it to be that.
So you want to be in the womb.
Yeah, I want to go back to the womb every night. Wow, I need to be rich so I can make this.
Yeah. But and you want that just for you, not with Jake.
If he can have his own pod. Oh, yeah, the pod is mine.
right.
If he wants his own pod next to me, that's fine with like soundproof walls.
But no, oh, okay, so it's a different room, a different pod room.
Or we enter the room where the pods are and then there's doors, like you go into a spaceship.
Yeah, and so you can get to each other's pods?
No, you have to knock.
There's a lock on the door.
And it also serves as a panic room.
Okay.
So in the middle of the night, you,
if something bad happens, you just hit a button and then you're locked in.
Right. And it's fireproof. So like,
okay.
Even if the house is on fire and the dog can come in, I guess, if he wants. Or he even
has, does he have a doggy door?
Maybe he has his own pod.
Well, how is it fireproof? Like
the outside material.
And so you just wait for the fire to die down before you leave your pod.
All that's left is my pod. And then Ben Warren knocks on it and he's like, are you in there?
Do you even know that there was a fire? Or do you like leave your pod and you're like, holy shit, my house is burned down.
Actually, what I think is there's an alarm and I can poke my head out and be like, I'm not going to make it out. I'm going to just close up in here. I have a choice.
Okay.
There's definitely a fire alarm.
In the pod.
And a burglar alarm.
So you're aware of what's going
my
on.
My pod, wait. It also has wheels. So if the house is on fire. I got it. It's connected to the outside of the house. Like that's where it's. So like if I need to escape, I
you
would,
just jump out the pod window or the
no,
wheel.
No, it has like a driver's seat.
What the fuck is this?
And it turns into. Oh no, I feel I've lost it.
Turns into your Subaru?
Yeah. Or like a superhero car.
How expensive is this pod?
I don't know. Oh, I lost it for a second. Oh, it's like in Black Panther, their car they have. That's what it is. But it has a bed in it as well.
Can you just turn it into a car whenever you want? Is there a bathroom
in
there?
No, it's like you only use it when there's a number. No bathroom.
There's all these things, but there's
I don't want to have to clean out the sewer. Like, I'm in there to sleep, but in an emergency or a zombie apocalypse or something.
You can drive away.
Yeah, because the part of my house that's like that will just, like, it'll let me out. And then I drive away.
Does Jake get to drive away?
He has his own choice. He has to wake up, which he might not. Wow.
Is it bulletproof?
Yeah, it's all of the things.
It's all
proof. Just doesn't have a bathroom. That was the more expensive version. I didn't opt for that one.
Wow.
So anyways, it's like the hyperbaric chamber size.
Oh, that's pretty big to be driving. Like a semi.
Well, I'm not going to go down the road. It's just like to get away from whoever's trying to kill me. Or the fire. Goes right to the fire station.
Well, I think... Why would you need to be at the fire station?
don't know. I swelled. Also, just so you know, Brie, if there were a zombie apocalypse, I would take my pod to you.
Thank you.
And there would be a hole on the top so you could jump
just out. Just jump out the window and like into the sunroof.
Into the passenger seat.
I actually, with old neighbors, when I lived alone, we had like...
A plan.
Not even just like... Or like war shit. If like shit got bad, we would... Or zombie apocalypse. Like... They lived a couple houses down. They said, we will wait for you.
Nice.
Like, you come, bring Marge, and we're going up to the UP. And, like, felt like I really needed to plan.
That's
because
great.
I was like, the first things that's going to happen is when cell phones are going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to be able to communicate with anyone.
Right.
So it's good to know that your pod is going to come pick you
up. Didn't Jake tell you that when he worked for that trucking company, that if there was a zombie apocalypse or something like that, his plan was, because he worked for a trucking company, he was going to commandeer a semi-truck and we'd all live in it. And he was going to buy as many cigarettes and booze as he could, because that would be trading.
Because
money wouldn't be a thing anymore. So cigarettes and alcohol would be like the best thing to trade with.
Yeah. That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah, he might be a doomsday prepper. I might be also.
This conversation, you clearly thought about this.
I wonder how much.
How much do you think it would cost?
I don't know. I want to talk to an engineer about this. And also, like, picture, like, there's like a backup, like a few outfits under, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like tampons, everything's there.
Do you have food in there?
Maybe some freeze-dried stuff, like stuff that, cans.
Yeah. Well, then you got to have a can opener.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, something.
So this is just a doomsday. So this went from like being a pod to sleep in to like a doomsday.
If you're going to do a pod to sleep in, you might as well throw in the other bells and whistles.
Yeah.
So anyways, we have to talk about Grays now, sadly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Take a swig of your wine and we'll be right back. Welcome back.
Wow.
We have two episodes to talk about today. Season 8, episode 13 and 14, if/then, and all you need is love. Do you want to do the first monologue?
Sure. If/then.
And also, we're going to talk about if/then or if/then. Should we just call it if/then?
Yeah.
As one whole thing before we jump into the second one.
Yeah.
Just because it's its own thing.
Yeah. So, the baby you have is the baby you were destined to have. It was meant to be. That's what all the adoption people tell you anyway. I'd like to think it's true, but everything else in the world seems so completely random. What if one little thing I said or did would have made it all fall apart? What if I'd chosen another life for myself or another person? We might have never found each other. What if I'd been raised differently? What if my mother had never been sick? What if I'd actually had a good father? What if? What if? What if? Your life is a gift. Accept it. No matter how screwed up or painful it seems to be, some things are going to work out as they were destined to happen, as if they were just meant to be.
Great.
I hated that what if.
Yeah.
What if?
I know, it's dumb.
What if? And then portions for foxes started playing.
We have a lot to talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, I felt like when I was watching it, I was like, this is going to suck. But then I started thinking and I read some things that we want to share. So the way we're going to tackle it is basically we're going to go through every character that was featured and what Grays decided they were going to show this alternate reality for them.
Yeah.
And
so do we just want to do that first before we do the other monologue?
Yeah, I think so. Just jump right in.
Do we have a shotgun workup for it or not?
I just wrote this episode. Is it like, a shotgun workup? No, because all of the patients didn't. The only ones I have written are the ones that had names. So there were many more patients, but they didn't have names.
Okay.
It was like Weber's patient.
But so, Lexi Gray had a cocaine overdose.
Yep, so we have Lexi Gray with a cocaine overdose.
Cocaine.
Barry Taylor, pancreatic cancer, deep vein thrombosis, and Riley, the artificial lung, which was a little boy. There were many others, but they didn't have names, so I didn't write them down. Can I actually start with a cool article that I found about this episode? I feel like it'll set the scene. I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, my God.
So, when I was watching the song... Into the Fire came on in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this song has been played before. Like, we've heard this before. And then I started thinking, we've heard this before. Like, almost.
Yeah.
So every single episode, or I think every song in it, or at least five of them. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the songs were in previous episodes. Portion for Foxes, A Hard Day's Night, Ruby Blue, Make Me Lose Control, which I thought that that band's name was Roys and Murphy.
I think they're saying the title of the episode.
Oh, thank you. I'm an idiot.
So, no. It's confusing because it's also a song.
Yes. Okay. So, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, Portions for Fox is in A Hard Day's Night.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah. Ruby Blue, Girl You Shout, Fools in Love, Into the Fire, and You Wouldn't Like Me. Those are all Artie and Grey's episodes. So, I Googled Into the Fire, Grey's Anatomy, because I wanted to know, like, which one it was in. And I want to read you a little blurb from this article, which the title is called Into the Fire, How One Song Defined a Decade of Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh.
It says that, I got to find the part. I should have highlighted this. The first time the song is used, it serves as a coda to the pilot episode. Into the Fire sounds out as the protagonist, Meredith Grey, fulfills the promise of an episode and assists in operating on the brain of her first patient. Everything that would come to define the success of Grey's Anatomy, the operating room, the closing monologue, even the catchphrase, it's a beautiful day to save lives, as espoused by her love interest, Derek Shepherd, is present in this moment. It is all marked by this perfect, subdued anthem of a song by a little group from Penzance. 7 years later, Into the Fire is reused as the penultimate song in an alternate reality episode. If an episode where so much has changed, where relationships, deaths, and surgical positions have all been uncomfortably altered, it serves as the unconscious anchor to a beginning as simple as surgery, the relationship between Derek and Meredith, and the musical epiphany in which all that is wrong, this is a long sentence, appears to root itself back to Grey's Anatomy we have become used to. The part that I loved is that it says... So it plays a couple of different times. The most shocking one is when Meredith and Derek, it's when Derek dies, it plays.
Oh.
It's a different version. It's like an acoustic version.
Yeah.
Bids farewell to a character who first defined the song, surgery, and an enduring romantic relationship. In a circular moment, the song is reused just a year later in its original form, no cover version, as the patient under the knife in the song's first invocation returns 11 years later for another brain surgery. Using the song with flashbacks of Derek, with Derek's sister operating, with Derek's name being invoked a season after his death, this is clearly meant to underline the grief of this loss again.
Wow, who the hell wrote this?
I know, it's a very like intense thing, but I just loved that this song is like used on purpose multiple times. And also I think when it was playing in this episode is when Meredith says, or who says that it's a beautiful day to save lives, isn't it? Like in it, and he.
Yes.
There's like, it's like she says it this time instead of him.
Isn't it Addison that
Addison says it, yeah. And in like a sarcastic way.
Right.
So it was kind of cool. So this episode, we're like, oh, this is stupid, but there's a lot of like.
Things in it.
Yep.
That, wow.
So anyways, that's my tangent.
That's a very interesting article.
That's what I got for Googling something.
That's what you get.
All right. Do you want to start with the first character?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're just going to break this down by character. I think we should just say that this is an episode about what if this happened.
Yep. So every character has a different reality.
Yeah, it's a different reality. And so, yeah, we're just going to start with Derek Shepherd. So Derek Shepherd is very sad and miserable and still married to Addison. And he's never had a relationship with Meredith. His nickname is McDreary instead of McDreamy. And he's professionally stuck, unwilling to teach, publish, or be creative. He is also known as Bad Shepherd and is unaware of Mark and Addison's affair until the end of the episode.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure that out. Does that mean like Addison and him never stopped sleeping together, Addison and Mark?
I was kind of confused by that too.
Like, do you think she came back like she did in the beginning of the show, but then, and they decided to stay married?
Well, yes.
No, because he would have never found out.
Well, I feel like I don't necessarily agree with he didn't know about the affair. I feel like he just didn't know that the pregnancy, like that the baby was, I feel like he had to have known about the affair unless they chose to move to Seattle.
Right. I think it's either they chose to move together or maybe he forgave her. You know, in that moment when he chose Meredith, maybe he chose Addison and they stuck it out even though they weren't happy.
Right.
And so then maybe it's just that Mark and her had an affair again.
Yes.
That's what I would, I feel like, interpret it as.
Yeah.
I loved the scene in the bar with him and Meredith when he's like, please tell me what they call me.
Yes.
He just seems so beaten up.
And sad. Yeah. And
McDreary.
And I mean, we've seen Derek sad.
Yeah.
But this was a different type of.
And like that Addison is good Shepherd and he's bad Shepherd, mm-hmm. and no one wants to work with him.
Nobody likes him at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next is Meredith Grey, who is like the bright and shiny version.
She's wearing like pink.
Yeah, she, I don't, a sweater suit.
Yeah.
It's what they, Christina or whoever, it's what Bailey told her to wear to like the court date.
Meredith sweater Grey, set.
Yes, is a lot happier, has two loving parents, Richard and Ellis, adopted the surname Weber, is engaged to Alex, which and hates crazy. Christina as she follows cardiothoracic surgery as well. It has shown that she was very selective with the intern she was kind to and may have been more of a teacher's pet, as seen when she told her mother that Izzy cut Denny's LVAD wires.
Yes.
So, yeah. So she's a... she. There was
cheery.
Cheery. Yeah, there was no, like, interns band together. We stand up for each other. She went and told her mom about Izzy. And also, at the end scene, when they're taking... Christina's teaching her how to take tequila shots. You can tell she's never taken one before.
Right. She's not dark and twisty quite yet.
Well, yeah, because she had two loving parents.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ellis is still kind of...
It's still Ellis.
It's still kind of terrible to her.
Yep.
Christina Yang has straight hair and is very bitter towards the others except Owen and helps him with his PTSD. Also, since Meredith and Derek never were in a relationship, she was the only intern sleeping with an attending, which makes the others very cruel towards her. In the extended episode on the DVD, it's implied that she regularly has sex with Jackson, although they kept it secret at the hospital.
Nice. So yeah, I love when, I actually, it was weird, an article, which then I was afraid my computer was listening to me, that said like how many times, it was like a BuzzFeed article that was like, how many shows use bangs as a way to show time? Like suddenly someone has bangs. Yeah. I felt like this, like Christina's hair, I was like, why in this reality is her hair straight?
I know, it didn't make any sense.
Like, is she straightening it? Is that the,
We're trying to.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think that if Meredith hadn't also slept with an attending, that Christina would have been judged more.
Yeah, that she would have been seen. And they do kind of have it out with each other in real reality. Like, you're sleeping with an attending, and like, well, you're sleeping with an attending.
Right, but if it had just been one-sided, I feel like a lot of people, everyone would have thought like, oh, well, that's why she's getting all of this.
Getting all the surgeries.
And also, she was still with Burke, and then Burke left her still, I think.
Yes.
But no one knows why, because no one's friends with her.
Right. And so they're like, she's crazy, and she drove Burke away.
Right, to another country.
Yeah.
So sad. I didn't like this version of Christina.
I know, I felt bad for her.
This one made me laugh, though. Alex Grev has become a lot nicer person. He wears glasses and is the current chief resident and is most likely pursuing general surgery, as he and Bailey work very closely together. He proposed to Meredith and is very optimistic. He also had an affair with April Kepner, Meredith's now best friend. Okay. What were your initial thoughts? I mean, I know you've seen this episode, so you like aren't shocked by it anymore, but.
Right.
He looked hot in glasses was my only.
I felt really uncomfortable with him and Meredith making out.
Do you think that this is the episode where people started to, where people started to like imagine like Marilex?
I don't think so, because I didn't feel like it, there wasn't any chemistry to me.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. I don't know. What did you think?
Well, I just thought it was funny that they made him so, he was like the April.
Yeah.
They like switched
him. But he was still bad.
Right, because he was fucking with
April. Yeah.
Which I love the line that Christina uses when she tells her, I think I wrote it down, it's like something about what you and the Virgin Mary are doing. Like, she calls April the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that bright and cheery Meredith would choose April as her best friend versus like dark and twisty Christina.
And also, it's interesting that Alex and April almost had sex in real life.
Right, and here they were all the time.
Yeah.
He also mentions Izzy, but not like they ever had
relations.
No. Nope.
Yeah. He calls her crazy.
Right. Which is sad.
And she shot up the hospital.
He says it. I don't think she shot it up. I thought he just made it like she would have if she was.
No.
Yeah. Because no, she did. He used that phrase, but I think he was just saying that like, she's crazy. She cut Denny's LVAD and whatever. She didn't actually shoot up the hospital.
Are we sure? Okay.
I questioned that, and I feel like it was just a phrase. I'll look at my notes in a second. But, who's next?
Ellis Grey. She does not have Alzheimer's, is married to Richard, and is a loving mother, and also is the chief of surgery and chief of staff.
I don't know that I'd call her a loving mother.
I know. I don't know that I'd call her a loving mother either. But she's alive, and she's present. Mm-hmm. But I think she also demands a lot out of Meredith and wants her to be a great surgeon. And, you know, kind of is like, you got engaged. That was your one day to like be happy with that. But now like move on.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good representation of what she would be like if she was lucid, mm-hmm. where like, she's not outrightly mean, but she makes Meredith do things and push her to in a way that is like when Meredith said that phrase, like, you aren't embarrassed for me, you're embarrassed for you. Like, right. She's still really concerned with her image and like wants Meredith to be this like replica of her, essentially. It just felt like it was exactly how I pictured she would be had she not died.
Yeah. And
except maybe stealing, not with Richard.
And stealing surgeries from like Miranda.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Do you think like if there was someone above that belittled Bailey,
instead of empowered her?
Right.
I think because she was like the band geek and like,
right.
I think that is kind of how Miranda would have turned out. Well, she was like that in one of those previous episodes.
Right, in her past.
Yes. So I think it was through Richard lifting her up, and then Ellis makes Richard fire her.
Right, which is so sad.
Yeah.
And her and Karev have that phrase they say to each other, which I can't remember what it is now. He's like, what do we say?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember either.
Okay, then we have Richard Weber, who chose Ellis over Adele and became Meredith's father. His leadership traits were overshadowed by Ellis. So he is not in charge.
Right.
As Ellis asked Bailey for an update on the general surgery department, it is likely Weber oversees another department and is not the general surgery head. It's possible that Weber is the residency director, much like his canon universe counterpart when Owen appointed him to the role.
Okay.
So I feel like he and Meredith have the same relationship, though. To me, that was like the only thing that...
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't change. Like, even, like, she came to him when she was sad about...
her mom.
And Karev cheating on her.
Oh, right,
And he, like, consoles her, sort of.
Yes.
But, yeah, so, interesting. Sorry to Adele, who is going through Alzheimer's alone
right now. Well, maybe she found someone else.
Hopefully.
Addison Forbes Montgomery is still with Derek, though is pregnant with Mark's baby and still works at Seattle Grace Hospital and is both neonatal and OBGYN maternal fetal head. She is known as Good Shepherd among the residents. So they like her, when really, like in reality, everyone kind of hated Addison.
Right.
And, or the residents at least, or interns, because.
That scene when she tells Derek, he like comes in and he's like ready. He's like, I will make it work. I'm excited to be a dad, whatever. And then she tells him it's not his baby. It's really sad to see like this weird version of Derek be really like have no confidence. And it reminds me of like when it was flipped, when Addison could tell that he didn't love her and she got drunk that one day.
Yeah.
It's like the roles were reversed in this one.
Yeah.
Where he's just like a mess and can't handle anything. And he sleeps in his trailer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the last time Addison is on the show.
Officially. Oh, that's sad.
What do you think? She was like, okay, I guess I'll come back for this weird
and random. It was Private Practice still going on at this point?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But
so there's no Private Practice crossover again.
I don't know. Oh, it can't be. You're right. No.
Yeah.
Weird. Owen Hunt married Callie. It took me a minute to figure out like whose those kids were.
Yeah.
Also, one of the child's name, hang on, I wrote this down. Its name is, I couldn't even handle this. Where did I write it? Allegra. Which is like,
isn't that an allergy
medicine? But isn't like, is there a music word that's kind of like
Allegro?
Allegro? Yeah, I don't know. I was like, what? Who names their daughter Allegra? Yeah, all I could think about was the drug. They have three children, and he still shows anger management issues due to post-traumatic stress. So Christina, I mean, she did help him sort of in this one, but like she didn't, like Callie clearly didn't push him into therapy.
Right.
Which we learn. So he's had an incident they talk about, and he hasn't gotten better.
And he's like keeping it from Callie.
Yep, he's not telling her. He got his children, like that checks out to like what he wants currently. Also, like Callie isn't, I guess we haven't gotten to her yet. Hang on. But also with Owen, I thought it was those scenes with Christina, like you think he's finally going to tell Callie and then
he doesn't.
He just doesn't. He looks right at her and because he says to Christina, like, why are you always helping me? And she's like, well, I'm a doctor. But I think it's like, it's fun to see an alternate world where like she might like him. But,
right.
Yeah. Can't. Okay, want to do Cali?
So yeah, so Cali Torres married Owen, we just said, instead of Arizona, chose cardiothoracic surgery instead of orthopedic, and apparently never faced her bisexual self. So the explanation given for Cali being a cardiothoracic surgeon instead of an orthopedic surgeon is that Ellis urged her to pursue a career in cardio. This is still plausible, as Ellis would have been the chief at the time of Cali's match. If Cali initially still pursued an ortho residency, she still would have had to do a surgical internship under general surgery. Ellis could have had Cali transfer to the general surgery program after the latter's internship and recommendation to cardio fellowship under Burke. Another explanation is that Ellis would have allowed for a cardio residency after Cali's general surgical internship under Burke. A cardio residency would not be unprecedented, as that is how Sam trained to become a cardio surgeon.
Is Sam the guy from private practice?
Yeah. And after Burke resigned, Cali took over as the department head for cardiothoracic surgery. Yeah, I think it's really interesting because her and Arizona have a little glimmery, like, moment.
Yeah, they're, like, not working well together, but then when the kid is okay and is breathing, Arizona, like, hugs her.
Yeah.
And she, like, looks at her in, like, a different way, sort
of. Yeah, and then it's very shortly after that Callie's leaving the hospital and Owen's coming to go with them, and they like, he like kisses her and she's like, oh, okay. Like, it was like very awkward for her.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. I like current Callie much better than
I do
this.
Too.
Also, I love when she said that she's afraid of Christina. She's like, frankly, I'm kind of scared of her.
Which is funny because they're like friends.
Right, in the actual reality. Yeah. Arizona Robbins did not marry Cali and apparently barely knows her, but other than that, she's like the same.
Yep.
Bubbly and happy and in peds.
Do you want to do the next one since the other one?
Miranda Bailey is still shy and has zero confidence in herself from not having Richard teach her. Alex is the one who reinforces her self-esteem every now and then. She also has her intern year braids, which I was like, wait, in this alternate reality, does Bailey not age?
No, she does not.
It is implied that Bailey is the head of general surgery, as Ellen asked her an update on the former department.
Also, she has this, like, terrible, like, turtleneck sweatshirt on.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
And it's sad, too, because, like, her talent is not here.
Right.
Like, that patient, she knew better about that patient and all these things. And, like, you could tell that the patient wanted her to do the surgery. She just doesn't have, like, the self-confidence.
To stand up to Ellis Gray.
Yes. Who is just a bully.
Yes.
This one was absurd.
Yeah. Lexi Gray is a drug addict with tattoos and never went into medical school. She stated that both Thatcher and Susan are dead. She knows about Meredith, but has never met her. But to be fair, like, Ellis ends up with Richard, and in real life, Thatcher leaves, but Ellis doesn't end up with Richard. So maybe it made Thatcher a worse father.
Yeah, could have been.
You know?
Because she was with this other man. Like, left him for a man versus just...
left.
Or having him leave, choose to leave. Yeah, it probably did. And also, I mean, like, her dad was an addict. So, like, it
was very... It's like a complete 180 of...
Yeah, I also feel like what was the thing I really didn't like was the way they had her hair. It was like she was so extreme looking. Like, I wish they had still made her look like Lexi, but like, why did, just because she does cocaine.
Doesn't mean she, like,
she looks like a Rasta woman.
Yeah. It was,
too much like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, stereotypical. Mm-hmm.
That the only people who do drugs look like that.
Yeah. When it's not at all.
Yeah.
I also feel like cocaine's really expensive.
Is that what she was doing?
Yeah, that's what they Coke. Gave her Narcan, so she overdosed on cocaine. That's what it said in the medical files.
Oh.
So, which I just feel like, she looked like she smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah,
Which also is not real.
And then her heart was all messed up. And then, okay.
It was really sad. Okay, so Mark Sloan does not work at Seattle Grace. But he was there.
Why was he there? But he carried her in.
Yeah, maybe he was visiting Addison.
Oh, probably.
He carried her in, which was just like a little too late. Like, it's all these signs that we know, like, what happens at the end of the season. And I feel like even in this episode, him carrying her, like, dead body is, like, so much foreshadowing happening.
I totally agree.
You want to read April's?
Yeah, April Kepner is Meredith's best friend, her person, and had a casual fling with Alex. Instead of focusing on neurosurgery or trauma surgery, April seems to be focused on OBGYN and or neonatal surgery.
I thought it was interesting that she said to Meredith, like, or Meredith said, no virgin jokes, like, yeah, to protect her, but yet she wasn't a virgin anymore.
Yes.
Jackson Avery may not have followed plastic surgery as Mark doesn't work in the hospital. It is suggested he follows trauma as a specialty, and the extended episode on the DVD is implied that he regularly has sex with Christina, although they keep it a secret at the hospital, which he tried to make out with her in the past.
Yeah, so. And then Charles Percy was not shot and is alive. He is in love with April. He says at one point, shoot me now. I wrote that in one of the notes whilst he was actually shot in real life and died. So,
do you think he was like, hell yeah, I'll come back for another episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Missing characters. Teddy Altman is still in Iraq. Callie thinks Teddy is a boy.
Right.
When she talks, she's like, yeah, his friend Teddy seems to be helping him a lot.
This really nice guy. Seems like a good guy or whatever.
So that was great.
George O'Malley ran away after failing his intern exam. It's assumed that he is alive.
He should have done that.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been hit by that damn bus.
Izzy Stevens was fired for cutting Denny's LVAD wire after Meredith told her mother.
Reed Adamson was possibly fired during the merger, and it is to be assumed that she was never shot and is still alive.
Also should have gotten fired. It would have been better. Preston Burke left Washington State after his relationship with Christina. Reason unknown.
Sophia Robinson Torres does not exist in this reality. Zola Gray Shepherd is likely living in Malawi, unable to get her surgery because Alex never brought the children over.
That's it. And Erica Hahn is not mentioned.
Okay, so
just a few hospital changes, and then we'll be done with this.
Yeah, so rather than merging Seattle Grace Hospital, merely absorb Mercy West Medical Center, and Ellis planned on absorbing Seattle Presbyterian Hospital as well.
Instead of a blue color scheme, the surgical staff wears a gray color scheme with light gray for surgical residents and dark gray for surgical attendings.
What did you think about those?
They looked like they were like V-neck. They looked like fancier, sort of. Mm-hmm. It was weird.
They kind of reminded me of derm scrubs.
Yeah, like they were.
From the derm episode.
Yes.
Scrub caps are no longer personalized. Instead, they match the color of the surgical gown, which is purple. That was interesting.
Yeah. Scrub shirts worn by men are of a V-neck style, while the women wear an A-neck style.
Surgical masks no longer tied behind the head. Instead, they loop behind the ears, similar to the surgical masks at St. Ambrose Hospital. That's interesting.
Yeah. Department heads and our senior attendings do not wear scrubs when outside the OR. Instead, they wear dress clothes with their lab coat.
Yep. Also like St. Ambrose, because they're in private practice. Seattle Grace Hospital's insignia is more intricate, adding a shield, stepped formatting with the font, and laurels.
And the cafeteria has different tables and chairs. I feel like after watching this, it was probably like it to me as a viewer. I was like, especially like I'm trying to think in current season, if they did this now, I'd be like, fuck, I just want to see the story I'm watching. But I bet you acting and writing wise, this was so much fun.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm
like
happy.
For them.
I'm happy that we found a way to talk about this because a lot of my notes were like, how are we going to talk about an episode that's not real? Like, none of this is real and none of this
matters.
The
plot doesn't matter.
It doesn't move us along at all in our storylines. And so to me, it kind of feels like a throwaway episode.
Yeah.
But when you go through the trivia and the notes and how each character is a little bit different, I think it's kind of fun. The one thing I would say that I loved is at the end,
same.
Where you're just a guy in a bar and you're just a girl in a bar and they still end up together at the bar at the end. And I was like, wow, even in a different universe.
They'd find each other.
And Christina and Meredith find each other.
I loved that actually the most because they end up working together on Lexi, trying to bring her back. Again, don't they do that when Lexi dies? Isn't it Christina and Meredith when she's under the plane?
It is.
Ugh.
Just kills you.
God, it's so much foreshadowing. But I liked that Christina's teaching her how to do tequila shots. And at first, Meredith's face, it's like that meme that went viral of that girl that's like, bleh.
Yeah, no. And then like, huh.
No. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I feel like that was, she immediately was like, okay, fine, that's good. Like,
yeah. And then she tells Derek like 5 seconds later, like, I drink tequila. Like, it's her drink, you know?
Yeah. Whenever they drink tequila at a bar, it makes me want to go to a bar and take shots of tequila.
I know, but I would just fall off my stool.
But what if we like did that, but only had like three? And then
over
a
period of time.
And that's all we drank. And then we drank water. We just like talked and whatever, but drank water. And then we went home.
Okay, let's do it.
Like, can we do it early enough that like...
Yeah, I'm down. Okay. I mean,
instead of taking shots of tequila at the end of the night.
Right, we take them at the beginning.
And then we just see where the night goes.
And then all of a sudden, we don't make it
We are in an alternate reality.
Oh, <no. laughs>
We're in a pod. Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the beginning.
Listen to the beginning. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't skip it.
Perfect. Moving on. Okay. Should we take a break and then go into the next episode?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Great. All right, episode of All You Need Is Love. There are times in our lives when love really does conquer all. Exhaustion, sleep deprivation, anything. And then there are those times when it seems like love brings us nothing but pain. We're always looking for ways to ease the pain. Sometimes we ease the pain by making the best of what we have. Sometimes it is by losing ourselves in the moment. And sometimes all we need to do to ease the pain is call a simple truce.
That's okay, great. So...
it's Valentine's Day. We can do rounds.
Shotgun workup.
Yeah.
For...
starting at Janelle Barnett.
Seizure... what is that word?
Hemolytic anemia, maybe?
Wow. Benign granuloma and teratoma. Ray Jones, intrapericardial diaphragmatic hernia.
Yeah.
Whoa. Charlie Bilson, crush injuries, internal bleeding, and broken nose. Clementine, allergic reaction, and Sharon, laceration.
Great.
I thought that first said lactation.
She's lactating. It's a problem. She didn't even have a baby. She's just
something's
lactating.
Wrong. Something is wrong.
Okay, for rounds, there's just have a couple. So if something else comes up, but I have Lexi and Mark almost communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Again, some real foreshadowing. We have Bailey and Ben, and they talk about being romancy, and mm-hmm. he knows her. Christina and Owen, he says he wants to move out, and then they have this sort of reconcile moment at the end, sort mm-hmm. of. And then Teddy and Owen and their big-ass fight.
Yes.
First notes?
My first note for that episode was, how could they not see Lexi sitting there?
That's my second note.
I was just like, wait, what? They like giggle on the couch and she's like, I'm fucking right here.
I would never do that.
No. Like, I understand it's like they're
in the moment, it's their house.
Yeah.
But still.
But also, like, you are choosing to have roommates. Like,
yeah. Be respectful.
Yeah, be considerate.
I loved considerate. What is that from a YouTube video?
Yeah. Oh, that's from Stay in Your Lane.
Yeah, she's driving. Yeah. Okay, my first one is LOL when Derek said, when Meredith goes, there's a baby in the shower too. And Derek's like, let's do it in front of Ducky. Like,
yeah.
She's like, I can't do it in front of Ducky. And I feel like their bathtub looked like every one of my friends when I go stay at their house. Like, you can take a shower in here. And I'm like, what are all these toys?
Yep.
And then I said, how do they not see Lexi?
And then I realized it was Valentine's Day.
Same.
And then my next note is, Owen is in the blowy room. We haven't seen that in a while.
Not great.
So we know he's in a bad space because he's in the blowy room.
He's in the blowy room.
Yeah.
Also, I have... so what do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about Owen and Teddy and Owen and Christina? Or which one?
I feel like those are the biggest ones.
Okay, let's talk about a small one.
Bailey?
Sure. Okay, so it's Valentine's Day. Bailey has a date with Ben. A dinner at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. It is scheduled. She is telling people about it because people are assuming she doesn't have any plans. And I love that, like, Ben checks up and he's like, you still on for tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see where the part with... there's a part with Richard. That's at the end, I guess. So basically this whole thing, she keeps getting held back in surgery with Meredith on this, like, mystery teratoma, which...
which I thought Bailey and Mare working together in this episode was really cute.
Oh, yeah. They were, like, great. And when she's, like, finds it and... but, okay, let me talk about that patient. That was so sad.
Oh, my God, yeah, that she lost both of her ovaries.
In a coma, so she doesn't even know yet.
Yeah, that was really sad.
And that, like, if they'd done the one first...
then she would still have an ovary. One,
which I get that, like, they couldn't... they did a good job of not making you feel like Bailey and Meredith were being, like, bad surgeons.
Right.
But it was just, like, the part when they were like, there better be something on this one or else we just sterilized a woman for no reason. The word, that word they used was
sterilized.
Like,
ooh.
So sad. I love when they push the guy reading he's like looking at the specimen. And
oh yeah, like the pathologist or whatever.
He's like taking too long and they just push him aside.
Also, I feel like, was her husband, like, were they newly married or something? Because
he said they'd been friends for like ever.
So they weren't even married.
I don't know.
And because he seemed very uncomfortable making the choice for her to go into an induced coma and also, like, taking out her ovaries. He's like, I don't
know what to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they did find a teratoma, which I loved that scene. You put your hands in there because that's what Meredith does.
Yeah.
She's like, a teratoma.
Yeah.
And then Bailey walks out and is it like another surgery? That comes up and Richard is there then with her.
Yeah, someone else I think comes into the pit or something.
Yeah, and I love this scene. It's a little bit about Richard, but I feel like it goes along with this. So she's like, I'll do it, whatever. And he's like, no. Like, you have a date. Like, and she's like, but it's your anniversary, which it's Richard and Adele's anniversary on Valentine's Day. And Richard says that he went home and Adele didn't recognize him. He says that Adele told him that she thought he had a nice smile and invited him to eat dinner with her. And he said, my wife's not married right now. In fact, I think she's falling in love with me. So she thought Richard was a random date, which also would be cute, but not. Like,
well, also really sad. Because,
and on your anniversary of all days.
Exactly. And he wanted to leave work early. He was telling people mm-hmm. he was going to go home and spend it with his wife. Everyone knows it's his anniversary.
Right.
And then he comes back to the hospital. So he sends Bailey off to go be with Ben.
He says, I would like to be with this liver and a scalpel or something like that.
And so it's very sweet that, like, she gets up with Ben and it's, like, late. It's, like, 10 at night or something and their reservations were at 7.
I think it's, like, 11:53 or something.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, crazy late. And then she expects him to get mad at her.
This made me really sad.
Because I think Tuck, you know, got mad at her. And, like, I'm, you know, if this is going to be a problem, like, I'm saving lives, you know?
Right. She right away goes on the defense.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Bailey.
Right. And if you can't handle that, then you can't handle me. And, like, all Ben has said is that the time is 11:53.
Right.
And she was like, oh my God, he's so mad. And it made me really sad to see her fall into this old pattern.
She was triggered.
Yeah, exactly. Of immediately feeling like this person is going to leave now. And she said, I think she says like, oh, and then Ben says like, no, I said it was 11:53. The day's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like walks her into, he set up this private room, which he says that he has had planned since the beginning because he knows she's Miranda Bailey and that she won't be done early and she would never be able to make a timed dinner. Like he phrases that as if like in a good way of like, you're never going to be that person that can make a 7 o'clock dinner and that's okay.
Yeah, I know that about you and I'm still choosing to be with you.
And then she says, you know me. And then he goes, I know you. And then he put extra crumbs on her macaroni and cheese and he's like, I know you. It's just like so... Oh, she also said in her big speech, like, I'm not good at romancy things.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben just like looks at her and says, I happen to be very good at romancy things, which I'm like, damn, I want to be not good at it, but have the person.
Oh, yeah. Romance me, please.
Yeah. I just thought it was
I want extra crumbs on my mac and cheese.
I just loved it. Bailey deserves this.
Yeah. I thought it was a really sweet little storyline there.
Yep. I also forgot the Arizona Cali, which it's not that big of a story.
That they go to Derek's trailer.
Yeah, but she's got it all decked out.
Yeah, which it was really pretty in there.
Because Arizona doesn't like camping.
But I'm also like, even though it was decked out, I'm like, it still is a trailer.
Yeah,
I said... Like, was it warm in there?
I said camping is actually glamping.
Yes. But, yeah, so that was cute. They got away. I guess the whole storyline with that is like, with Mark... Think like, Callie being like, he's watching Sophia, and then Mark being like, no, I'm going on a date with...
Julie.
Yeah.
Which he says that their relationship is still young and fragile.
Mm-hmm.
He uses those terms. So to us, I don't think we're supposed to think it's like, well, it is serious, but not.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's so careful right now, Marcus, like he doesn't want to mess up with her. So
right.
He's being like how he should have been with every other person he's ever been with.
Yeah. So he ends up, Julie gets called into surgery or something. So Mark ends up home and Ken like, be with Sophia or whatever.
Yep.
And then Avery shows up.
Yeah. So in the beginning of the episode, there's that, I loved the scene when like Jackson realizes that everyone else is studying for their boards and not him. And even when Karev says it and he's like, why aren't you? And he's like, oh yeah,
for sure. I know. I have a note like, uh-oh, Avery, you are not studying.
Not at all. And so I thought the stuff with Mark was great. He shows up with a bottle of wine and steaks. And he like as a, I feel like a man would to a woman. And he goes, what does he say? Oh, I can't find my quotas, but I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, he's making Mark dinner. He's like, I'm going to make you dinner and you're going to help me study for my boards.
I feel like they're far enough in their relationship that's the level that they're at right now.
And then, well, then he's like, Mark asked him how much the bottle of wine was. He was like, $50. He's like, get in here.
Yeah, like if he'd said anything less.
Yeah.
Also, just some Jackson Mark things. Earlier when Mark is doing rock, paper, scissors with Arizona to try to win who gets to not have to babysit, Jackson's like coaching him. He like takes a minute and goes over there and then he gets really mad at him for like making him go against his gut.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else with Jackson?
I feel like there was a moment where Lexi was embarrassed in front of Sloan and Avery.
Yeah, because she told Chief that she didn't have a date. Like, Chief knew, but then she said it to Jackson, I think. Like, just, what do you mean I don't have a hot date? Of course I do.
Yeah.
And it, like, kind of came up, and then
right, and so she
Chief
was
embarrassed. Covered for her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the thing with the rock, paper, scissors, called it a team huddle. Jackson, yeah, team huddle. It's fucking rock, paper, scissors.
They're so weird. And he was like, she's always done rock. She's not going to do it. Like, yeah. The way they're like, and then she does rock.
Yeah.
Because she can also hear them. Like, that's the other part that got me. Something on Weber, too, just really quickly before we move too far away from him, is that in the beginning, when that flower truck mm-hmm. crashes in, which I go, oh, we've seen this before. Like, yeah. This just happened in Kirkland.
I think I said, well, this feels familiar. I don't remember them doing this before, but I guess a car has come through a building before on this show.
I said, oh, wow, another vehicle coming through a building. Nothing new to see here. Yeah. is that Owen is in a bad space, and so he tells April to like get rid of all the flowers, like throw them away.
Yeah.
And when he walks away, Richard's like, don't
he's disgusted
them away.
By that.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, everyone is a cynic these days. Like yeah. He's just, because April's it's decorating his, about love.
And it's Richard's anniversary. And he's like,
do you think he brought all the flowers home to Adele?
Maybe. And she was like,
she was like, wow, what's your date?
He also says he sends out like the freaking out girlfriend, and Weber leans into the patient and said, a man should get to bleed in peace.
Yeah, he was goofy.
Yeah, very goofy.
But yeah, that screaming woman.
Yeah,
which is
sad
because then he dies. So maybe he shouldn't have said
and then he was gonna propose.
Yeah, Lexi do we want to talk about Lexi now? Because that like plays into that. So the episode starts, you know, Lexi offers to watch Zola, and like I feel like Derek and Meredith just they're like, oh, she doesn't have a date. So like right. We can take advantage of her. They come back from Valentine's Day and she's like, okay, here's your child. I want to go do this thing. And they're even just like, oh no, just drive her around. Like mm-hmm. She's fine. But what happens with her and Mark during the day? They sit by each other and eat chocolate. So Lexi's working with the patient that, yeah, this woman really wants her fiance or her like boyfriend to propose. She's super upset about it. And then at one point she like sits next to Mark on a bench and he's just eating chocolates that he bought for Julie, but now she's in surgery. So
is it Julie or Julia?
Julia. Jules. I'm gonna call her Jules. And she asks what he's doing and he says, I'm gorging myself on Valentine's Day chocolate. And then Lexi admits to him that her hot date is actually Zola. And they like kind of have like a laugh.
Like a little giggle.
Yep. Then that guy's boyfriend dies.
And right.
She's a terrible crier. I just want to point
out. Yeah, she was really bad.
It could have gotten, like some of those could be emotional to me, but her reaction was so bad acting that I couldn't handle it.
And then the necklace that she didn't open, the locket in the locket said, will you marry me?
Oh, right. Because she was holding it up. Like it's not a ring.
And he was like, you didn't even look at it. Before he died, he told her that. And then...
I didn't miss that part. I saw her open it. And I said, will you marry me? So then I feel like in Lexi's head now, she's having this like, you can run out of time.
Yes.
Honestly, I feel like we're on the downhill now of this. Like running out of time is the new theme for the two of them.
Because they're both going to die so soon.
So soon. I'm so sad. I'm not ready. And so... Lexi, I love her talking to Zola. Mm-hmm. She's like, what do I do? Should I go talk to him? Should I do this? And then she looks at Zola and she goes, tell me. Which like sort of a little bit scary like. But she's like basically running through her plan. Mark and Meredith tell her to take Zola for a drive. Mm-hmm. And so she drives to Mark's. And I wrote in all caps. I'm like, oh no, this is when Lexi tells Mark. I thought it was.
Yeah, but it's. But then Avery's there.
Which her ex. I feel like it was anyone else. Because he even says to her, like, I can tell him to leave. Like, he was ready to hear it.
I know. But then she's like, no, no, no. And then I love, though, that he's like, we'll get in here, you know.
Sophia, your friend's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, then, he even, like, makes her not feel uncomfortable by being like, oh, the babies can play.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so devastating. Doesn't it happen one more time that she does tell him?
That she tells him she loves him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does happen.
Oh, God. This would have been a perfect time.
I know, but fucking
Avery was
there.
Because he's vulnerable because Julia wasn't there.
And then they wouldn't have had to get on that plane.
I know.
I mean, maybe they would have, but they would have loved each other.
Yeah. Fuck, I can't even think about it. It makes me so sad. Teddy, Owen, Christina.
Okay, so I feel like maybe we talk about Teddy and Owen.
Sure. It was very unexpected, the reaction.
Yeah, so Owen wants to be friends with Teddy.
Yeah, they still haven't talked since Henry died.
And Teddy blows up on him, and she says, I wish you were dead instead of him.
I have the whole speech.
Oh, okay, go ahead. No.
She goes, I hate you, because I thought it was really intense.
Yeah.
I hate you from the moment you've decided to put the needs of your hospital over my dead husband. I have hated you. I lie in bed at night alone, and I look at the spot where my husband used to sleep, and I actively, with every cell in my body, hate you. I wish you were dead instead of him. I think about all the soldiers. This part felt like a low blow. Think about all the soldiers, good men, who died over there in Iraq, and I don't understand what kind of God would allow you to survive. We are not friends. This is not grief. It will not pass. I hate you. Please don't speak to me again unless it's work-related.
I have that. This is not grief. It will not pass. I hate you. And I wrote, dude, they have a baby together.
Right. I know, because that's the thing when we're watching these, like the episode of Current that we just watched is them getting engaged.
Right, right.
So it's super weird to see.
So you can get over things. You can forgive. Grief is not forever.
Also, like, I still stand by that, like, what would have happened if he told her in the middle of that surgery? There was no one else that could perform that surgery.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, I mean, she's like, this is not grief talking, you know, right. This will pass. But clearly this is grief talking.
Right, right. No, that's true.
Because there's no other way.
Yeah.
I think, though, too, she also, like, pushed for Christina to come. And, like, they made Christina perform the surgery, like, with Teddy afterwards and stuff. And I know, like, Teddy... I don't know. She probably just blames Owen for all of that.
I did like the scene a little bit earlier when that one intern asked, like, oh, do you guys have any Valentine's Day plans? And Teddy spells it out and is just like, she's like, well, this guy didn't tell me my husband died, so I'm not talking to him. And Christina doesn't want a baby, but he does, so they're also not talking.
Yeah, and then they're like, do you or something? And he starts
well,
to tell
my girlfriend.
Yeah, and they were just like...
Do not speak. I find it interesting, though, that Teddy, I guess that everyone heard in that fight, but that Teddy is like, knows why Christina and him aren't.
Well, yeah, because I think everyone at that party
heard.
Yeah.
I just felt like her hate towards him there was a little bit.
It was
the soldier part.
It's very intense. Well, also just saying, I wish you were dead instead of him.
Well, that part I can, that like the fact that she's like wants Henry in this moment, not him, but it's a really
but
mean
still,
thing.
Like wishing someone to be dead.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Pretty intense hate. So,
Teddy then comes to Christina to like bitch about Owen, and Christina's just standing there and she has like tears in her eyes.
I did not realize Owen wants to move out. I did not, I like have a note, like, I don't remember this happening.
Yeah. First he's so agitated about the elevator.
Oh my God. I love that. Christina pressed the elevator button and Owen hits it again and she's already hit it. And she's like, I already pressed it, whatever. And I was like, I feel like that is something all couples do when they're fighting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like
yeah. Okay. I already did that.
Especially if something's not working.
Yeah.
I feel like our sink recently wasn't working and like I did something and then Jake did it again. And I was like, I just did that. Yeah. That's such a good thing. Okay. That was the saddest scene to me because earlier in the episode, Christina's talking to Meredith about the Owen and she's like, fine, you know what? He's going to leave me and I don't care. I can't make someone stay. Like, I will not beg. I am Christina Yang. I am gifted. I am this. Like, I'm strong. I don't need him.
Yeah.
And then they're in the elevator and she's behind Owen and he says without looking at her that he's going to move out. He'll be with his mom. And it's such good acting
again. The look on her face.
Yeah, because she is not fine. Like, she falls apart but doesn't make a noise and then she just says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, if only he turned around.
Yeah, she was... not okay.
Because I feel like Owen wants her to be like, no, don't, you know what I mean? But like she...
But she's not going to beg.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
She does later. But yeah, I just...
Well, and also in the beginning of the episode, I think she's kind of, she's talking to Meredith, I think, and she's, before she says everything that you just said, she's very sad about it. She's like, I know Owen's going to leave me.
Yeah.
Like, and then I think when she starts to feel sad about that, she puts her defenses up and like, well, I'm fine. Then you can fucking go.
Yep.
But her true response to it is,
she's sad. She loves him.
She loves him.
Yeah. And it's just, I feel like only someone like Sandra Oh and maybe like the woman that plays Bailey too, but like the acting in that moment of like not making a sound, but your whole face is like crazy.
And, you know, one of our co-hosts, Chris, talked about this in a previous episode, but I think he's right that they have like really great chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
Like, the two, I don't love them as a couple, but I love the two of them in that elevator together.
Yep. It was a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
So then at the very end of the episode, Owen is in the blowy room.
Always in the blowy room.
Christina comes in and then she actually says, I'm begging you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't leave, I think is what she says.
She asks him not to hate her.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. Please don't hate me. I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Which is so sad because it's exactly what she said she would never do. Like, mm-hmm. I'd never beg. Whatever. And then it just ends and they're like holding each other's arms.
Yeah.
So who knows?
So do we know?
I don't know.
I don't think he moves out.
I don't think he does either.
Maybe that's why I don't remember him saying he wants to move out because he doesn't actually move out.
Ooh, I like that you don't remember because I don't know either.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I have some random notes about this.
Sure.
Episode, some annoying actresses. Clementine's mom. Was
super annoying.
Her voice was like, I couldn't even, they didn't even show her face when she was yelling because I think after it was too late to recast.
Yeah.
And then, okay, the one scene that was cute. So the little boy, Karev, so Clementine, there's a little boy that's in love with her. They're in love. Karev offers to read whatever this little boy wants so that he can go home. And the little boy says, you'll need a notebook and a pen. And as soon, what I thought was really cool, the way they filmed it, that little boy, when his mom was trying to make him leave, was like clutching the chair. His like knuckles were white. And when Karev kneels in front of him and is like, how about I be there with her? He's like, really, you will? And he's like, sure. And his like hands relax. Mm-hmm. Like they like zoomed in on his hands just going like this. And it made me a little weepy.
I also, I thought it was really, really cute that Karev promises to be there when she wakes up. And he is.
Yep.
And it's a really sweet little note and he reads it to her and he's like, you know, like, you're pretty lucky.
I don't care who gave who lice. I'm just glad we had it together.
It's so cute.
Also, a scene I liked was when Meredith brings Derek into the room to show him the teratoma. Mm-hmm. And she's like so proud of him. And he's like, you could have told me this at home. She's like, I had to show you a teratoma. And I just like, they're in a good place right now.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy. I was also really glad in the beginning when they left Zola on the bed. At first I was like, oh my God, they're just leaving her. But they put the pillows. Yeah. I was like, oh, this show's too smart.
I didn't really have much else.
I didn't either. There's a few notes in trivia if you'd like to read it.
Sure, for All You Need Is Love.
Yep.
This episode title originated from the song All You Need Is Love, originally sung by the Beatles. This episode scored 10.27 million viewers. This Valentine's Day marks the last one Richard spends with Adele and is also marks their anniversary. Adele would later pass during the Christmas season of that year in Things We Said Today.
Catherine Fox Award. I feel like we can't give one for the first one because it's not real.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my vote would be to some minor person, but I kind of want to say Ben.
Okay. I like that.
For planning the dopest Valentine's Day and for knowing Bailey and loving her as she is.
I love that. I will do that in just a little side one. Maybe Richard for taking over the surgery for Bailey.
Ooh, good one. And for the flowers. Best he can.
Yeah, and do it in like telling them not to throw away the flowers and stuff. But I like Ben.
And then I'll do, what do we call it?
Like a runner-up?
Runner-up.
Okay, so I had a note in the second episode.
Yeah.
And I just said, like, I'm really bored with these episodes.
Yeah, they weren't very exciting.
I didn't really like either of them, to be completely honest. Dissecting the first one a little bit, made this a little bit more fun, but yeah. I really didn't care for these.
No, they're hard for me. I didn't want to keep watching them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only things that I really liked was like the Lexi Mark stuff and the Bailey Bin.
Yeah.
I could have done without everything.
And I thought it was like good television with like the Owen Christina stuff. But
yeah.
It was sad.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 6 out of 10 scalpels.
And I gave it a 6.5.
So there you have it. And I don't know when this is airing, but I feel like it's airing close to Valentine's Day. This
yeah,
episode.
That's exciting.
So
if it's close, happy Valentine's Day. As always, please, if you want to be more involved with the podcast, go to patreon.com/theoncallroom and follow us on Instagram @theoncallroompod. We'd love to have you co-host and just be a part of our community.
Yeah. Do you want to call Time of Death?
Sure. Time of Death, 2027.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.